All right, why do we start to make our way back this morning? We missed our scripture reading last week, so we'll just kind of get Vince ready here this week. All right, yes, we're in Mark 12, starting in verse 35. We're going to finish off this chapter. So, Vince, why don't you come? And we'll read the word of the Lord this morning.
Morning. Okay, great. This is the, Jesus is going to speak here on the most frequently quoted messianic verse in the Bible, quoted by most apostles. Psalm 110, 1 and 2, if anyone wants to look it up. So starting in verse 35, and as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord, so how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. And in his teaching, he said, 'Beware of the scribes who like to outwardly walk in long robes, like greetings in the marketplace, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation.' And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came in and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all that she had to live on.'" Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. One of the joys we have at a church plant here, every time I think we have our sound taken care of, it goes haywire again. Let's switch over to Benny's. To that annoying crackling all morning. All right, one of the things we're actually encouraged to do as believers in the body is to share with one another what God is doing in our lives, words of encouragement, words of testimony, because when we hear what God is up to in people's lives, it encourages us that God might be moving. Chad, are you the first one coming? Is that why you stood there, brother? No? Oh, okay. That was just perfect timing there, brother. So I'm going to open this mic up. I do have a word to preach if we don't get testimony time, but once the first person usually goes, it usually opens the floodgates. So who's got a word or something that God has done in their life that you want to share with the body? All right, Brother Charles, come on up. Breaking the ice.
Hey, good morning, church. My home is about 1,400, well, the place I lived before I moved up here, it's about 1,400, my wife's giving me the look. My old home is about 1,400 miles away, so when I made the decision to move up here to Canada, it was a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of things went wrong, and there are times where I was just really, really, really frustrated. Came up here, immediately lost a job. That's when I met Pastor Jeremy. He made the investment in me as just one of the many unemployed Calgarians to see something in me special. And God has blessed me by bringing me into a place where I can grow, I can be fed, I can thrive in the spirit. And he's blessed me through you guys, through the people of God. So I'm very excited because there are times where there are have been very hard situations that I've gone through where I thought, this is it, God is mad at me, I made a mistake. And it was the people of God that offered words to me that gave me encouragement to stay the path. So I'm here standing in God's grace, standing in God's blessing through job loss, finding jobs, changing jobs, all of that. God is with you. God is with you, and he uses the people of God to be a blessing. So I'm thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful for the Spirit of God.
Yeah, God has been very faithful to Charles. You guys started a new job, a wonderful job, and I just love seeing how God begins to work in people's lives. All right, who else? Who's got a word? Don't all rush up at the same time now. All right, here comes Sister Cindy. Oh, and we got one. Okay, we'll get with that one after. No, come on up, and then we'll go over there. Yeah.
Okay, so I've stood up here before just asking for prayer in regards to the office environment that I work in. And just a little something about my manager or the coordinator of teacher staffing where I work. So he's made some comments over the last little bit that I have found it really hard to hold my tongue and not lash out at him. And just to keep smiling at him, I even went to him a couple of months ago, and I told him that, you know, I believe that he's called to be my coordinator, and I told him that I believe that God puts people in place. And so we talked a little bit, and he shared how he's finding a little bit difficult being the coordinator. It's something new, something that he's trying to fit into. So I just spoke into his life that I believe that God has called him to it. So he's made some very colorful remarks over the last couple of months that are not proper. And I've just kind of smiled and tried to not say anything. And on Friday, he came to me and he said, you know, Cindy, I think I need to apologize because some of the things that I've been saying are not proper. And, you know, so I just continue to pray for him, and I see God at work in my workplace.
All right, so on our way up. All right, come on up. This is Fred's sister, if you never met. So make sure you say hello on our way up. Come on up. And I did meet you at break, but I can't remember your name. What was your name again?
Sandra.
Sandra. All right, come on, Sandra.
Hi, so my name is Sandra. I'd just like to give thanks for answered prayers. I pray a lot for my family, and I'm just shy, I think. I'm a little bit emotional today. Anyway, my prayers have been like answered daily, and it's just amazing because you pray for it the night before or in the middle of the night and in the morning, and then you don't actually know until later in the day that they've been answered. So it's wonderful. Like, my granddaughter was not looking too forward to her new soccer team, and she was discouraged for the first two times she went, and on the third time she came back, and they said how excellent her skills were and that she had a really good leadership qualities, and she likes it now. And my daughter, you know, sometimes has bad days at work and stuff like that, so I pray for her, and she came home happy, and her prayers are getting answered. So I give so much thanks to God, my Lord and Savior, for answering my prayers and answering my family's prayers, and I imagine, like, lots of Christian prayers for everyone. I'm truly blessed that way. Thank you.
Amen. Listen, there is something powerful with a parent and grandparent praying for their kids and their grandkids. Don't ever think for a second that God doesn't hear that. In fact, I've heard many of the story, and I've even seen it in my life, where I had family praying for me. And there are times where that's literally the only thing that holds kids in. Power of a praying parent is powerful. That's a lot of P's there. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, Gail, come on up.
So I just want to tell you about an answer to prayer that was quite amazing. I have a sister who is physically handicapped. She's quite a bit older than me, and needed a placement in a nursing home because her mobility got really bad. And so we were praying as a family that she would get placed into the same home as my mom, but Extended Care in Red Deer is a busy place, and there's lots of people there. So they had told us it could take up to 6 months, and with a secondary or tertiary placement in between. And just this week, God answered prayer, and she got directly placed into Extended Care. So just a blessing to our family, and God is good to us.
Good. All right, anyone else? We're good. Oh, okay, Vince. And
exhortation. Okay, for the rest, I think we should read, since the apostles referenced it so often. I'm going to read the full Psalm 110, so you can look forward to. This is what we're looking forward to, basically right after Revelation 11 takes place, the last trumpet. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power.
in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He'll execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs all over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. It's the, like I said, it's the most common messianic verse, waiting for the kingdom of God to appear on earth with our Lord at its head. Amen.
Amen. And I actually have something that'll kind of add to that as a testimony after. But first, I want to call Gino up. He put up his hand. Do you want to come share, brother? Or do you want me to share for you? Come on up. Someone walk with him. He wants to share. Amen. Gino, it's so good to have you, brother. This is a powerful, powerful time having you up here. I'm so glad you're here.
Ever thought I'd be standing up here? So I was off in the corner.
Yes, you were.
Always with a drink in my hand. Yeah. For the past 3.5 years, every single day, except 5 days in there somewhere, I lost track of time. I drank every single day, every single day. It got to the point where I felt like I would never be free, that it was hopeless. A voice, and I knew who that voice was, he'd whisper in my ear, "Get it over with. Just you're suffering, just get it over with. Just end your life and get it over with. This hell you're living." And sometimes all I could pray was, all that I could get out of my mouth was, "Jesus, help me." That's all I could get out of my mouth. I had such incredible fear, paranoia, anxiety. I felt so worthless. When they had communion here, I wouldn't take part because I didn't feel I felt worthless. But I can't believe it. I've been clean and sober now for 12 days. I'm leaving for Clara's home on Tuesday. I'll be there between 6 and 12 weeks. It's more of a hospital than a treatment center. It's called Center for Addictions and Mental Health. I need help, and that's where I'm going to get it.
Good.
You know, I was a little nervous at first. I was about going, when they told me, you got a bed. And the doctor was so excited for me, the social worker. Then it hit me. I said, "I'm going. I'm actually going to go. This is it." You know, last night, yesterday, I was watching this nature show on TV. And it showed these locusts just swarming down on this field and eating everything. And this narrator saying what they do and how destructive they were. And this verse came to my mind, and I couldn't get it out of my head. He said, I will restore unto you
Hallelujah.
The years Hallelujah. That the locust has eaten, oh. The caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You shall never again be ashamed.
Hallelujah.
You will never again go hungry, and you will be satisfied. And I thought, all those years he's going to give back to me.
Amen. Yes, he is what he does.
Especially these last 3.5 years where it was a living hell. Yeah. It was torture. Yeah. I was a little scared about going. And I was saying, what if it doesn't work out? What if this? What if that? And then he always pops scripture into my head, and he said, I am the God of all flesh. Wow. Is anything too hard for me?
Amen.
He said, fear thou not, for I am thy God.
Hallelujah.
I will be with you. Yea, I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I felt like that ember was gone. But it's like someone's just gently breathing it back into life. And it's slowly glowing brighter. It's easy to pray now. But as I pray, the enemy constantly interferes with my prayers, and he distracts me. I think about something else, and I get angry at him. I send him away because he trembles at the name of Jesus. So I send him away. I tell him, leave me alone. Help me. And I say, Lord, help me to focus on you. Keep away all distractions. And I just focus on him.
Yeah, that's right.
Last night I sat in that hospital chapel and I was praying. As I sat there, I just started singing old hymns. And then I remember them. I remember the lyrics, Rock of Ages, Amazing Grace, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I kept singing them, and it was an awesome feeling. But I'm glad to be back. It feels like chains have been sundered. I never thought I'd be up here. Thank you, all of you, for your prayer support. And I'll see you guys in 6 to 12 weeks.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Stay here for a second. Oh, yeah, we're going to pray. You betcha. I'll share something, then you can share something. You'll pray. Okay, Dad? All right. So I was confident. I always knew the day would come where you would be sitting right there or wherever, but sitting here, because you did. You always stood over there, and I get it. I get it, because, church, most of you know my story. I was an alcoholic for almost 5 years. I get the battle, and I know exactly why you stood over there. But I always knew the day was coming when you were going to be here. And I'm so glad that you're here today, right here. Like, God is a miracle worker. Now, he did something incredible here this morning that's a lesson to all of us, okay? Especially to those of you who are parents. Did you hear how easily the word of God came flowing out of his mouth?
Yes.
Word for word. There is power in memorizing scripture, because one day you don't know when. God will draw it out, and he will remind you. I'm sitting there watching a show on locusts, and all of a sudden, I will restore unto you all that has been lost and eaten by the locusts. So that's powerful. That's powerful. God's word is real. And so you guys need to be praying every... He leaves Tuesday. We as a church need to pray daily for Gino. Okay? Because the enemy doesn't like to lose people. He's going to try. But God is stronger. And we're going to be with you in spirit, believing that everything that needs to be accomplished in your life physically is going to happen. That you are not just going to be... You're set free already. But that when you come out of there, there's going to be a testimony so powerful that hundreds, maybe thousands come to know Christ because of your testimony, Gino. You're a living testimony to the power of the kingdom of God. Amen? Danny, got a word, and then you'll pray. Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to honor a couple people, too, and just say thank you to the people in this house, specifically Jack and Cindy, and to Jack and Benny. There are people here, and I know there's others, that have really taken Gino into their hearts for prayer, and thank you. Thank you so much. And Gino, you know what? You are a living testimony. You are a walking miracle, because just what you even shared, you said, how many times just ended. That has happened so many times to you, and yet the Lord has saved you and saved you and saved you. There was one time in particular, I think it was at the Alpha week, and when we were praying, I said to you, I said, Gino, and this is a bit of a prophetic thing for you, I called you Pastor Gino. I called you Pastor Gino, and you know why? Because this morning you're standing here and you are preaching the word. You are preaching the word. And the Lord actually has a call on your life. Just like Pastor said, there is a call on your life that is bigger than you, that is greater than you. And as we send you off to Claire's home, I want that word to resonate in your heart. The Lord has made you a pastor. Not necessarily maybe in a church setting, but to the people around you, you have that heart, you will have that freedom, and you will be able to speak words of life into them just like you are this morning. So maybe, church, can we pray with Gino? We're just going to bless you. Is that okay? Put a hand. Father, we thank you for this wonderful man. Lord, we thank you that no matter how much the enemy has tried to damage, has tried to steal, to try to cheat and destroy his life, Father, you have put your foot down firmly and said no. In Jesus' name, Father, we release him right now. Father, from our care, even as he goes to Claire's home, we know, and with confidence in our hearts, Lord, we know that you are with him every step of the way. So, Father, protect him, bless him, cover him in your spirit, Lord. Every step that he takes, Lord Jesus, would you just anoint his steps, protect his steps, bring him into the contact with the right people, Lord, that you have in front of him. Lord, we declare freedom over Gino and over his future and over his life. And we thank you, Lord, for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I give you a hug? I have a quick one, yeah. And this one goes back a little ways, but I was reminded about it this week. I've had quite a few changes in my life personally just with work. And, you know, the Lord is so faithful. About a year ago, I was looking to invest in my company. And, you know, there's always that struggle of how much do I go in? Is this really the Lord's work? Is he really calling me to this? Where's my future? And it was funny because I had gotten to that point where financially I had resolved myself to the fact that I was going to purchase part of my company that I'm in right now. And it so happened that we were at prayer, and this was, Cindy, this was a word from you where you said, even without knowing, you said, I see business in your future, and I see the Lord giving you business, owning business. And I thought to myself, you know, that was a word literally a day after I had made the decision. And you got to understand that this is not like a small sum of money for me or for my family. There's risk involved. But it was so interesting that the Lord would set things up. I had decided in my heart, okay, Father, I feel like you're leading me into this season. I'm going to make this step of faith. And yet the very next day, it's confirmed through just a word in prayer that says, I see the Lord saying, you are going to own business. Now, what's transpired in this past year And this is the crazy part. I'm the youngest person at my company, and I've just been promoted 6 months ago or 4 months ago, whatever, to the president role. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'm not going to stand here and say I've got it all figured out. I am probably venturing into new territory I've never known. But the Lord has been so faithful, and he's been so good. And so even in areas of work and business, he cares. He cares enough to say, okay, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to show you how to do this. And so the one other part that I believe the Lord said is that, you know, in this economy, Pastor, you referenced this. Well, how, I don't want to be part of a company that's just going to fail in the next few years because of the way the economy was. And the Lord said, he said, I will always provide the work. You just have to do your part. I will be the one that provides. And what a great relief that is to, you know, the human side of you wants to kind of figure it out on your own. But the Lord says, no, you just do your part and I'm going to provide. So that's my promise going into this. So the Lord has been faithful in all elements. The downside is I know it's taken away a little bit from our involvement here and then hockey and all that fun stuff too. But God is so good, and I am so thankful that he reaffirms and confirms the decisions that we make when we trust in him. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anyone else? All right, Jess. Did a hand go up over there too? Did I see? No? Okay. Sorry, Christina. I was going to call you up, but Jessica will do it.
Yeah, I just wanted to share what God has done in my life in the summertime, but it's been a little while and I haven't got the chance to share it. I just had the privilege of going away for a week-long retreat, and it was called the Father Heart Ministries, and it's really just like a time of soaking in God's love and receiving it and going back to woundings from your childhood and walking through forgiveness and repentance, just especially with your parents, because I think, yeah, that's just, we all have stuff. We all have wounds that go way back. And for me, obviously Jeremy has shared about it so much, but our mom died. I was 4 years old when we were in our car accident, and that has been a wound that I have dealt with my whole life. And just, yeah, that feeling of feeling motherless my whole life. I've always just had this, like, I don't feel like I have a mom. And that was just the woundings and the loss from her. And I think in the last few years, God had started to reveal how much that early childhood loss has really affected me. I think for many years, I was like, oh, I'm fine. But then as you get older, you kind of, God starts to peel back the layers and you kind of start to realize how much you've been hurt. So yeah, during this week, there was a specific day where we were praying over our mothers and our fathers and our wounds, and God just gave me a vision / memory of my mom, which I actually don't have any memories of her. So it was a really beautiful moment, and I believe it was a memory because I could see myself, the age I would have been before she died. I could see her in detail, but in it, I was able to actually interact with her, and I was able to kind of realize it was happening, and I was able to hear her voice, and you know, just touch her face, and it was kind of like this feeling of like, I need to just take this in because God's giving me this gift. And then, yeah, during it, she was talking to me, and we were having a conversation, and I really felt her, just the comfort of a mom that I think I've always wanted. And she, at the end, she said, I'm going to be leaving, and I knew it meant she was going to die, but she said, you know, there's somebody here, and God is going to be with you, and he's going to love you better than I could ever love you. And it was so healing for me. Yeah, it was so healing. And I just felt, as we kept continuing ministry, at one point, it wasn't my mind, but just my spirit just cried out, like, I'm not motherless anymore. And I'm a different person. I really am. Like, God has healed every single wound that has to do. And you know, the interesting thing was, when I was 17, God said to me, and I've shared this before here, that like, I can be your mother, I can fill that place, I can be your comforter, your nurturer. And I believed it, but I wasn't able, because of my wounds, I wasn't able to fully receive it. And I think finally now I was able to receive it. So I know that right away, I mean, those close to me have seen the difference. Like, there's something different that God has done. But I just wanted to share, because I just wanted to tell you that there's no wound that you have that God can't heal. There's nothing. He can heal every wound. Every wound that goes right back from the day you were born. And sometimes we have to wait a lot longer than we want. My mom died 35 years ago. Sometimes you have to wait, but God will bring you there. Just trust him and walk with him and just let him into those places. Sometimes it's like he won't force himself in, but if you let him in, he will bring the healing that you need. So I just want to say don't give up. Yeah.
You see, that's why we need to hear from each other about what God is doing. Because it encourages us to believe that God might do something for me, for you, and he does want to. I don't want to cut it off. Anyone else before we? Okay. So Vince shared. You got one, Ty? I just thought you were walking around with a baby. Sorry.
It happens. Only because Matilda called us out for not sharing about our Bible study. So a couple weeks ago, unwillingly and begrudgingly, I let Jack pray for my knees. I don't know if some of you know, my knees have been terrible for months, like to the point where I can't work. I couldn't hold the baby to put him to sleep. Like I was in extreme pain standing for 10 minutes like this. So yeah, Jack prayed for my knees and they felt a lot better that day. And within 3 days, I've had no pain ever since. And that was 4 weeks ago, I think now. So, yeah, even if you're awkward and begrudgingly accepting prayer, you should still come.
Tuesday night, I think it's generally held at your guys' place, yeah? Good. They're just in Riverbend, which is fairly central in the city, so it's not hard to get to. So get out, have some fellowship time, and, receive from what God would do. And Tyler, he does HVAC, so he's working on rooftop units and stuff, and you have to kneel down to work on those. So knees are important, eh, Ty? That's good. So I guess I'll just kind of end it off this morning by saying, the Lord this week kind of gave me, I don't know. It's just funny how God shares things at the right time with you. Sometimes you're not really looking for it, and that's what he does. And so, you know, we heard the passage today about the messianic, prophecy, and then we heard the psalm. Which psalm is it again, Vince? Yeah, 110. I thought it was 101. 110, Psalm 110. And really, it's the prophecy about what's going to come. And you hear me say often that one day Jesus will rule the world from Jerusalem. And it's going to be a world of justice and peace, and everything will be as it should. It's going to be a wonderful world, and we're all looking forward to that. Well, the Lord kind of, I don't know if so much as just encouraged me this week as gave me a picture, but you guys probably saw me if you're on our Facebook group. And if you're not, just search up City Mosaic and request, and we'll add you in. Always want people to be in that group. Anyways, I kind of posted about, my 2 cents about this whole Kanye West thing. And, the fruit of our lives is what's going to show. So eventually, we're going to know whether it's legitimate or not. And so until then, we simply pray for a new brother in Christ and leave it to the Lord. I don't get all hyped up on Christian celebrities, okay? I've been around a long time, and I've seen many come and go, okay? However, if God is working, I said this point, I said God can call whoever he wants, whenever he wants, and use them for his purposes. So I'm listening to this album this week, and it was funny. Now, I like hip-hop and rap anyway, so it wasn't a stretch for me. It was nice. I'm listening to this thing, and I'm driving from Costco on 17th out at East Hills back home. And I am weeping openly, like snot bubble weeping. And I get home and I come in the door and I haven't stopped weeping. And Matilda, she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, like just weeping. And she's like, oh, trying to hug me. And I'm like, I'm not sad. I'm full of joy. This is a joyful. And it wasn't that whole thing. I mean, it was amazing to hear the things that have come out of that man's mouth. The entire album is pray. God is being glorified. So again, whatever happens in his life, we're going to pray for him. But God has just simply ordained praise there. But what struck me was this. It was like God just turned on a light and showed me something. So the name of that album is Jesus is King. You probably have heard that, right? Well, that morning, I had downloaded a book called How God Became King by N.T. Wright. Two days earlier, I had ordered a book called The King Jesus Gospel by Scott McKnight. I had also ordered a commentary on the book of Matthew that has to do with the fact that Matthew's whole point was to show that Jesus is the king. And all of a sudden, in this one moment, all of these Jesus is king things coalesced. And he began to show me, and I began to remember, I'm hearing Jesus is king all over the place. And it dawned on me, and I'm not making any kind of like prophetic statement here. I'm not calling out dates, but I'm convinced that God is preparing this world for his king to come. If you saw in Times Square, there was a skyscraper there, I don't know, 50 stories up, whatever it is, just the other day. You know, it was an ad for his album, but there it is. Jesus is king. 50 stories. For all the world to see. It was only a year ago that the Arch of Baal was sitting in Times Square. The Arch of Baal, Baal, of course, is Satan. Satan thought New York was his. God says Jesus is king. And so I'm just convinced, and that's what I was weeping. I was weeping in joy that God is preparing the world. He's telling the world Jesus is king and he's coming soon. That's news to weep at, church. Like, I cannot wait for that day. Because one day this world will be made right. One day justice, real justice is going to happen. There will be working economies where all will be employed, you know. It's going to be a day to look forward to. So, I want to show just a 4-minute video. So before you fire it up there, let's take down a couple lights. We have a nice new bright projector, and let's make sure the volume's cranked up. Don't hit play yet, but make sure it's fired up there. So, this is the Bible Project, okay? A lot of people know the Bible Project. We've shown videos by them before. This is on the kingdom of God. One of the things that the Lord's really been saying to me is just teach on the kingdom. You're going to hear a lot about the kingdom of God in the next year, a lot. And so I thought this video was a good way just to kind of lay the groundwork.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah.
The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls, and far out on the hills we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running and he's shouting, "Good news!" And Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news."
Beautiful feet?
Yes. The feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now, in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
Yeah, so when Christians say, "Do you believe the gospel?" they mean, "Do you believe the news?"
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, a powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal his servant. And he even calls Jesus his Lord, acknowledging that Jesus is his authority. Jesus praises this man for recognizing what no one else yet had, that not only was Jesus announcing God's kingdom, he was the king.
And so the word gets out that this Jewish man from Galilee is talking and acting like he's the king of Israel. He's appointing 12 disciples, which are an image of Israel's 12 tribes. He's healing people, forgiving people their sins.
And all of this so threatened Israel's leaders that they finally decide to have him killed. And Jesus let them.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to do if you're trying to become king.
That's right. But for Jesus, this is what had to happen. Jesus saw the sin and the devastation of his people Israel as just one small part of the entire human condition. How all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. And so how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
And the good news now is that Jesus has defeated death, and that he reigns as king, that he's dealt with our sin and corruption himself, and that he's conquered it with his life and with his love.
And then Jesus sends his followers to go out and keep announcing this good news of the upside-down kingdom.
And to invite everyone to give their allegiance to him, the king who defeated death with his love.
So there you go, church. It's not just a matter of one day Jesus will be king. Jesus is king. He's king right now. And he has the authority in this world. Yeah, and that's why I'm encouraged by what God, I feel, is speaking to us, that that we're going to begin to be the king's people, kingdom people here in Calgary. We're going to see things happen. We heard testimonies today. Listen, God sets things up. I don't know how he works sometimes. I didn't know Gina was going to be here. I didn't know Gina would be here on the very day that we were going to have testimony day, that he might share what God is doing in his life. Amen? Like, he does things. So Jesus is king. It's just that one day he'll be doing it from Jerusalem and not just from heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the way you're at work in our lives, for the way you're at work in this church. Again, to just follow up from our proclamation and our declaration earlier, Lord, we're just going to be a church that walks in faith. And like Daniel shared, that sometimes we wonder, how am I going to do this? Maybe I need to take matters into my own hand. You just simply say, you do your part, and I'll do my part. That's what you say to us. So for those who are here this morning, that there's something in their life that seems impossible, I pray that these testimonies and these encouragements, the exhortations that we heard, would encourage their spirits today to believe in greater faith that you are at work in their lives and you're at work in this church. Lord, one of the fears that I've always had is one day if we get a big influx of people, how are we going to handle that? But you're just saying, you do what you do, I'll do what I do, and you'll provide a means. So bless those who have, just committed themselves to being raised up into leadership. Bless those who volunteer. Bless each one who comes in and makes this church their home every week. Father, we give you glory and we thank you. Allow us to be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen, church. Have a great week. We'll see you back next week. Don't forget Tuesday night, Wednesday night prayer. Praise God.